Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time once again for Closing the Wealth Gap. The one show, maybe the only show, that shows you how to close the wealth gap in your own life with the man who's done it for many, our wealth coach himself, Tyrone French. Hey, Tyrone.
Buddy, I tell you what, we got a show today that I'm really, really excited about this show. This guy is somebody that I've been knowing over 40 years.
Wow.
And the topic of the show is veterans and financial literacy. And I could not have thought of a better guest than the guy that's going to come on today. His name is Christopher Penton. He's a Force Master Chief, United States Navy, retired. He has his own business. And again, I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, and I haven't let you get a word in as wise that yet. I want you to jump in here, and because this is just going to be, I just feel it's going to be a great show.
Well, let's bring him in. Welcome, sir.
Well, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. Give us your name and give us your background. Tyrone says it's pretty impressive.
Well, it may be impressive to some. I mean, I haven't impressed myself over 60 years, but I'm going to try to impress myself today. Yeah, my name is Christopher L. Penton. Yeah, I was a Force Master Chief in the United States Navy. Now I retired. I did 30 years in the United States Navy.
And explain, Christopher, and I'm so used to calling you Penton. You know, in military, we call each other by the last names. But, Penton, I want you to explain, what exactly is a Force Master Chief?
Yeah.
Okay, a Force Master Chief, in the military, in every branch of the service, they have enlisted ranks, and they go from E1 to E9. And the highest you can get in the enlisted ranks is E9. And E9 in the Navy is a Master Chief. And then you can also obtain special skills and become a Command Master Chief. And then you can become a Force Master Chief, which means you are in charge of a force. The reason why I got the name Force Master Chief, that was my rate, because I was in charge of the recruiting force.
Wow.
I was in charge of recruiting 40,000 people a year.
Oh, my goodness.
Years.
Wow. Yeah.
So the force is actually, it's an E9 billet. You only can have so many Force Master Chiefs in the Navy at one given time. You can only have 14 Force Master Chiefs in the Navy one given time.
And the whole Navy, wow. Our million-strong Navy, or however many people in the Navy, there's only 14 of you?
It's only 14 Force Master Chiefs in the Navy at one given time. And it's broken down like you have the Surface Force Master Chief, you have the Submarine Force, you have the CB Force, you have the Special Warfare Force, and then you have that on the East Coast and the West Coast. So, but you only have one Force Master Chief of Navy Recruiting Command. As a matter of fact, they only created that billet in 2007 when I got selected to be, it was just a Command Master Chief job when I got selected. And my point was, how can you have all these other Force Master Chiefs?
Yeah, did we lose him there? I think we've had trouble tried to do a recording the other day, and he blew the lines out. He's projecting so much magnetic force out of his magnetic personality that he's short-circuiting the phone here. That's what's happening.
I'll tell you what. I love public television. And one day I was sitting down in my living room, and I was watching a PBS special.
Right.
And the special was called Carrier. Now, this was a few years ago, maybe 6, 7, 8 years ago.
Right.
And all of a sudden, in my hands on the back of my head and said, wow, this, I knew it from basic training. I knew this guy had the right stuff.
So you're telling me that now we all know this guy? There's only 14 of them in the Navy. This was the Master Chief on the Nimitz and other places. The Nimitz is a big carrier. How many people on the Nimitz? There's got to be a couple thousand people on that.
4,500.
Oh, my goodness. Yikes.
But when you rotate in and out on a deployment, you may see 5,000, 5,500 people when you rotate out with civilians and sailors that's transferring and new sailors coming in. Now, also, when you're the Command Master Chief of the Nimitz, you also assume the position to be the Command Master Chief of the whole battle group. So you got 7 more ships, submarines. So you got a total of about 10,000 people within your AOR, your area of responsibility whenever you pull into a foreign country. So people, I talk about being a Command Master Chief of the Nimitz, but I don't talk about being a Command Master Chief of the entire battle group.
Today, I'm going to give you a little latitude. Just because of your vast experience, But I want you to talk about how we met in San Diego, California in 1995.
Oh, man. Oh, this is funny. This is serious, but funny. Everybody fly in from different areas and you class up a company. So French and I came down on the same bus and we didn't even know it, but we came down from San Diego. Even though I'm from Bogalusa, B-O-G-A-L-U-S-A, Louisiana. Bogalusa. I was living out in Inglewood for 3 months. So when I joined Navy, I joined up out of Inglewood. So I went to boot camp in San Diego. So French and I was on the same bus that went to boot camp on the first and classed up in the same company. Now, right. French is from Los Angeles.
Yeah, right.
I'm from Bogalusa, Louisiana. It's so country. I'm so country that the cows speak proper English than the human beings. They know how to say a moo. We may say mo, but whatever. That's a whole different story. So French knew I wasn't from Inglewood. But the stories, I watched a lot of Sanford and Son. So I knew about El Segundo and I knew about how LA was structured.
Yeah.
So French used to let me sit around and tell stories like I was from LA. And because he was from LA, he'll shake his head and he'll co-sign. Like I'd be like, yeah, you know, Vermont and 95th and blah, blah, blah. And French, no, I didn't know what I was talking about. But he shook his head as if I knew. And everybody was like, if French validate him, then he must be telling. Because French was in charge of the whole company.
Yeah,
we had
right.
80 people in the company. And French was the lead guy. He was in charge of everybody. So I already knew if I know that guy, be easy, I can get it made. So that's the story. French was the man.
So you're telling me that our host, Tyrone French, was the man in your boot camp, and he gave you some street cred.
Gave me street cred.
I got it.
I had the BS. I didn't have the corn. I didn't have the cornbread to go with it. And he provided the cornbread. Cornbread every week. Oh, I was landing on big.
So today's topic is about veterans and financial health. You sound like you know a few veterans. You ran a few thousand of them on a ship here that reported to you or talked to you to get liberty and all sorts of other crazy things. You know these. You know this Navy sailor in and out, right?
Yes, sir. Matter of fact, 4,500 people on the Nimitz, 2,500 people on the USS Bellawood, 400 people on the USS Bunker Hill, 10,000 people in the region in Washington, D.C. Fort Matthews when they recruited was like another 10, 20,000 people around the world. So if you ask the question, well, if I know the veterans, maybe I may know one or two of them. I don't know.
Maybe.
Hey, but let me jump in here because what I wanted you to do, Penn, was set the backstory as far as, you know, how far we go back.
Graduate from boot camp, if you don't have an A school, then you go to what they call apprenticeship training. So I went to Seaman Apprentice and he went to Airman Apprentice. That's another 4 weeks. That's 12 weeks in 1981 that French and I spent 24 hours a day together.
Wow. Wow.
So I may know French better than his family because your family don't see you. But when you got to live, sleep, and talk with somebody, that's a whole different story.
So was he coaching
here's
people?
Here's the thing, though. When we joined the Navy, we got out of basic training, we got out of our schools, our service schools, and we went to the fleet. They started paying us. And a lot of these, again, you got to remember, these are 18, 19. I mean, Penn was at Elder Statesman. He was 20 years old at the time.
Wow.
And so we're getting these paychecks now every 2 weeks. And some guys were sending the money home to their girlfriends. Some guys were sending home to their mothers. Some people were just, you know, just blowing it. And so when you take somebody that's out of that, take them out of their element, you pay them every 2 weeks. You give them room, board, shelter. They get into the habit of overspending or spending everything from payday to payday
exactly,
to payday.
Exactly.
And, you know, what I want to do is raise an awareness. It goes back to readiness. You know, a lot of these guys, especially when in my command, I was in a reconnaissance command and a reconnaissance squadron, DQ-1, stationed on Guam. But we would literally go to our plane would go to the aircraft carrier. And our mission was so crucial that I had to have a security clearance just to do my job. I was a final checker.
Okay.
What that meant was that I worked on the aircraft carrier. And so when that plane got ready, there was a malfunction as far as the avionics communications. I had to fix the problem within 5 minutes.
Wow.
The issue is if you are having issues at home financially, not only can it disrupt the mission as far as what you're supposed to do, but you can literally lose your security clearance by having financial issues.
Oh, because now you're susceptible to somebody bribing you or paying you off.
Exactly. Exactly. With all of these bad habits, I mean, again, I'm not excluding myself. When I had the best stereo equipment. I bought Mazda RX-7 when the RX-7 first came out. I dressed well. Everywhere I went, if it was Thailand, I wanted to buy 24-karat gold. Just blowing through money. And what saved me was I had a background that I could fall back on based on avionics. So when I got out of the Navy, I landed a really good job. Then I decided to go into finance, which, again, working for New York Life, I had a pretty good position. So income was never a problem for me. But when I looked at a lot of my brothers and sisters that were veterans that didn't have the same opportunity as me, income was a problem. And it started off with those habits based on that I had developed while I was in the military. The only reason my financial situation didn't fall apart is because I had more discretionary income than I needed. And so today we're talking about veterans and financial literacy. And I wanted, we got Penn on here today because I wanted to get his opinion based on what do you think, how viable is that for the military and commands to actually to be able to implement programs that can literally help veterans to get themselves together financially while they're on active duty?
It's a must. Let me tell you, I sat in my office a minute day and had to make a decision to put somebody out the Navy because they got behind on a couple of payments. Because when you have a security clearance, your whole life is about your finances. Or maybe they had they went through a divorce and now they're paying a little bit more than they thought they need to pay. And now their credit done got messed up. Maybe her credit is messed up. Maybe their credit is messed up as a couple and have to put that sale out. Maybe not out of the Navy, went into another job that required no clearance. Now you got an unhappy sailor doing a job that he or she didn't sign up for. Right. So managing your finance is very, very important in the military because it's the gateway to getting the clearance to get good jobs. And the military clearance, they pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for you to get the type of clearance you get depending on your job in the Navy.
Now, gentlemen, I did not know that you could get kicked out of the Navy for bad credit. For bad financial situation. I thought you could get kicked out for insubordination or not answering, following an order. But I didn't know if my credit goes bad, you guys can kick me out.
I can kick you out. I can tell you, you can either get out the Navy or we can find you a job, but you won't be able to re-enlist in the job you came in the Navy in. Now, I can get you a job maybe cleaning up down in Bergen, a burden of being a mess specialist, or doing something you didn't sign up for, I can't keep you in the job, and I can't let you reenlist for the job you want to do until you get those discrepancies squared away. And it's not up to me. It's up to the judicial system. It's up to those guys to validate whether you get a clearance. It's not me kicking you out. It's the system telling you we can't use you in the capacity. Exactly. We can only have so many of those people, and you counting against that instrument.
So, Penn, let me ask you a question. What do you think needs to happen on active duty to solve this problem?
Yeah.
Because again, I never got the training. And I'm sure a lot of things have changed in the military since I left, but I never know. All the classes that I went through, the safety stand downs, so many topics that we would cover, just being safe and healthy and making sure that you had that proper military bearing. But no one set me down and taught me about finances.
No, that's shocking.
And the reason why, Mr. Prince, is because that doesn't play a part in whether you turn that wrench or not. The military really don't care what you do outside of turning that wrench because maintenance keeps the planes up. Your finance don't factor into the military. So what we could do is, to be honest with you, we know for a fact veterans get paid twice a month. So we allow this. We the only branch. We the only part of society that we know an 18-year-old is gonna get paid twice a month and have insurance and they have the money at that time to invest. But we don't care about that because we're more worried about the maintenance side of it. We can just put together a little brief and make sure that it's taught in all the A schools and so, in boot camp. That
so think about
invest
think about this.
100 or 200 of your dollar. You're getting paid every 2 weeks. You won't even miss it.
Think about this. They got this thing called the time value of money. And all that means is it talks about money compounding over time. And the longer period of time you can have a smaller amount of money. But if you have a long duration, then that money can end up compounding versus having a large amount of money with a short amount of time. The longer that money is able to compound, the more, and the reason I bring this up is because a lot of service members, sometimes they'll retire around 30, 40, or 50 years old. It doesn't mean that they're out of the workforce. You know, they're ready for the second half of their lives. And can you imagine that by the time they got out of the military, mature, 30, 40, 50 years old, with a huge nest egg, now they can literally go into a profession or do some things to where, again, money won't be an issue at that point. Finances will not be an issue.
If they plan, if they use that period of time, that steady income to plan.
Exactly.
And save.
But you don't know what you're supposed to be planning unless you plan on what you know. So but I say that to say this, that even though, and some of the rates get bonuses, some of the rates get $30,000 for a reinvestment bonus. So you take you take that money and invest. They got, in the electronic world, you get paid a bonus. And in some cases, if you open the Gulf, it's tax-free. So they have money. The bottom line is teaching them how to manage what they got. I got a sailor to go out there and get $200 tattoos and don't mean nothing to nobody. I ain't talking about just E1, E2. I'm talking about E7. I'm talking about E8, E9. They don't even know how to manage their money.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know what would have helped me? If the E8 or the E9 or even E7 had the responsibility, meaning that they could not advance through those ranks. Those senior enlisted, they wouldn't be able to advance through those ranks unless they had some type of financial literacy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That they could literally share with their shipmates to where, you know, because again, they can see, they're the ones, they're the front line. They can see when people, when sailors or you know, they're having issues. And a lot of this falls on the chaplain. The chaplain, you know, people have
the chaplain.
Have personal issues, and they end up going to the chaplain. But again, the chaplain is not.
He's not your financial planner. Yeah.
To handle these type of issues.
But I see what French is going. But all command doesn't have a chaplain. See, the chaplain is only on big deck. You got to have at least 1,200 people on board to have your own chaplain.
Wow.
So let me ask you a question, guys, because I sit in this chair day by day. We have 20 different business shows we create out of OC Talk Radio on a wide variety of subjects. And one of the ones that comes up over and over again is how ill-prepared veterans are once they're discharged to get back into society. I'm talking about homelessness. I'm talking about drug abuse. I'm talking about people who don't know how to translate the skills they acquired into a job out in the outside. And I'm flabbergasted because this happens all the time. People
But you shouldn't be. Let me tell you why. You shouldn't be because their job is not finance. Their job is to put that plane in the air. So all that other stuff you're talking don't mean nothing to a guy that's writing his evaluation. I could care less from a chief perspective whether that guy can put his shoes on correctly. As long as he knows the calibration of that aircraft. So we trying to make sure, we trying to explain a military situation as if he's Superman. A person only know what they know, and most command master chiefs don't get into the command master chief program because they don't know how to prepare somebody for anything.
But I'm going to make one more comment. I never served. My dad served. I know others. Keeping our democracy alive and going and protected, and we pay you well, I hope, to do all that, and we train you well to do all that. Why aren't we keeping you safe when you get out?
It's a system. It's a process. And it's also a mindset. And again, when I served, my senior enlisted, they were more concerned about, again, I'll say military bearing as far as how I wore my uniform versus my finances being in 4-0 or 5-0 shape. And I just think that, you know, as a cause and effect relationship, you see a lot of veterans, again, that missed that opportunity while they were in their formative years to create those habits so that when they got out of the military, you know, they had a foundation that they could work with. And that's just, it's sad to see that they don't have that foundation.
Do we do a disservice to them because we're providing?
Yes, you do. And I'm going to tell you why. As a country, we recognize veterans 3 times a year, Veterans Day, Memorial Day, and the 4th of July. The other 362 days, we'll see a veteran walk down the street and won't say a word to them, not recognize their service because it's not a holiday.
Right.
So I think we got it wrong. I wish we didn't do nothing in the 3 days. Mm-hmm. And let me find something to eat on them 3 days, and you feed me the other 362 days. Let's do that.
Well, I tell you what, Paul and Penn, you know, we're coming close to the end of the show, but this show is closing the wealth gap, and it's about exposing a problem, but it's also finding solutions.
Right.
So, well, here's a solution.
You know, Pitten, just, you know, what do you think? What do you think a good remedy of this would be while, you know, before we get to that point as far as the veterans on active duty?
Okay, here we go. We didn't just put a brief together. We didn't go talk. We didn't go to most base. We didn't put a brief together and go out to the base and tell them that we can help the veterans out a whole lot if you allow us to just give a 15-minute wealth speech to everybody that come to boot camp. Cool. We can do it VTC. We don't email them. We can do it podcast. Matter of fact, we can do a training just like we're doing that I can get it into the whole veteran system.
Yeah.
Because that's what we got to do. And then we don't have to worry about who's going to take care of who because they take care of. We can teach them how to fish.
Right.
Instead of just giving them a fish. Let's do that.
Exactly.
And that's what we're doing. We can easily do that.
Well, Paul, since you mentioned that you hadn't served, so I want to give you an opportunity to jump in here and you know, kind of vent a little bit and you know, what's on your mind right now?
I'm telling you, when I hear stories that veterans come out and are homeless, veterans, and veterans have come on this show and said, not this show, but this station, and said, you know, I was given $1 million training to run an aircraft system, a guidance missile system, something else here, but nobody ever taught me what to do when I left the service. And they all knew it was going to happen. You don't stay in there for life. 99% don't stay in there for life. So you know they're going to leave at some point in time. And why aren't they preparing these people to make that transition? I hear that it's so difficult that, again, people get homeless, they're broke, they can't get a job, all sorts of people that we've given high-level clearance and high-level training, but we're not thinking through what happens next. I'm shocked.
Right.
I'm shocked. As a citizen, I'm shocked. I can't believe that's good for the country, and I sure can't believe that's a way to pay back people who put their lives in harm's way. I can't buy that.
Well, I tell you what, Penn, I know you got a heart for veterans. I've been knowing you over 40 years. If somebody's listening, a veteran's listening to this show or somebody that's, you know, interested in this topic that we're talking about today, how can they get in touch with you specifically?
Well, they can get a hold of me on my website, which is Force-Penton, FORCE-PENTON.com. That's the best way to get a hold of me, and I will give them any kind of advice because the thing with veterans are we are humans first.
Yeah.
So we need to share. We need to do what I know you want to build the wealth, but we need to build the knowledge. We need to build. Right. We need to change our structure of how we think about it. So they can get in touch with me by force-penton.com.
And aren't there I'm assuming that there's a process to get discharged. So they make sure your health is okay. And they must
Yeah, they make sure your health. They give you what they call a TAP, a transition program. But it's boilerplate. It's blah, blah. It's people come in from Fleet and Family Service Center and just tell you, oh, this is what you do. You go to the veteran hospital, you do this and all that. It's boilerplate. It's a cookie cutter.
So are you guys...
Imagine if they added some type of financial literacy at the end.
Have you guys approached, I don't know, is this the veterans organizations? Is this the Navy itself?
I'm doing. No, it's the best. I'm talking about the veteran because if it's E1, E2, anything is the same in all service. And what we're going to do is, I'm in the process of doing that because I'm big into the veteran. As a matter of fact, one opportunity they had offered me to be the Secretary of Veteran Affairs, Assistant Secretary of Veteran Affairs.
Wow.
But I didn't take it because it was who I report to. I report to that guy. Do I make decisions? No. Well, I tell you what, call me when that job is open. But the bottom line is this, that we need to give it to them on the front side. We need to give it to them on the way out.
So I'd like to hear from your guest. The last question that I'd have is, tell me a story. Tell me two stories. Tell me the story of the veteran that you know. Give him a name to protect him here. And tell me a guy who was in terrible straits when he got out and shouldn't have been in that state. And then tell me somebody who prepared and did it right. Tell me a good story and a bad story.
Good. I'm going to tell you a good story right off the bat. It was a guy when I was a command master for the in Washington, D.C., at the Ceremony Guard. Now, we bring in the youngest guys to go be pallbearers at Arlington Cemetery, casket bearers and all that. This guy came in, and he had just went through a divorce. So when he did his clearance, he was on the edge of yes and no. So he put down some answers, and then when he got to boot camp, his divorce became final. And they brought him in the office. They said, we're going to kick you out of the Navy because you didn't tell us you had these financial problems. He said, it wasn't me. It was my wife. He said, we don't care. We're going to put you out of the Navy. It was in 1990. This was in 1997. And wow. I told him, I said, you're going to get in my car. I was at the Navy Yard, and I'm going to take you over to Anacostia. And I took him over there, and I told him, you would not put this guy out of the Navy until we find out exactly what went wrong in his life. We're not just going to do that.
Yes.
They kept him in the Navy, and now this guy is a professor at Georgetown University.
Wow. Okay, I like that. Now tell me a typical story on the flip side. Guy who comes out, seems like he had it all together in the military, he comes out, can't get his life together, and he's homeless, he's in trouble, whatever. Give me a human story that talks about that, the need there.
Okay, I had a sailor that got out the Navy. He had a nuclear rate.
So he's working with nuclear engines on a submarine or...
I had a guy, he was nuclear trained. He had a rate, he was an ET, a nuke ET, and got about three different bonuses over a 20-year career. $20,000, $30,000, and got the Navy and didn't have a penny.
Wow.
Because
when
he got his money, he went out there and bought a car. And sailors go out there and buy cars, but they go on deployment. They leave their cars with everybody and nobody. And next thing you know, the whole car is messed up and all that kind of stuff, and they're still paying on it. And they had $30,000. And we give you lump sum. We give you half of that money.
And they blow it.
And then give you installments. That's the story. That's half of the Navy.
So what did he do? He comes out. He can't get a job as a nuclear technician. Those don't exist in the private world, or not many.
Exactly. So he reverts to doing just odd jobs, and then he loses his self-purpose because he was like, I'm battling this. And then he get caught up in the system, and then now it become, you know, now he just lose hope. And next thing you know, you see him, you walk down the street, he's like, that guy used to be a nuclear engineer, but what does that equate in the civilian world?
So what that tells me is it adds a level of humanity to the people that you see under these freeway overpasses or hanging out in front of the stores. That's, you know, or have the, you see them at the intersection with the signs, you know, veteran, homeless, you know, help.
Don't assume that
you don't assume. You look at that guy, you pass him, and he tell you a veteran. You don't even get into why he's a veteran. I mean, what rate was he? He's a veteran, and he don't have nothing to eat. That's how far you go. You don't even care about what his rate was. He's a veteran. And it doesn't make a difference if he was an MF, he was a ship serviceman, or he was a nuclear engineer. He's a veteran, and somebody should be taking care of that.
So what do you do now? You're out of the Navy. I know you guys were working together and trying to create some programs of financial literacy.
The Pinton and Associates is about veterans. I just got that up online. As a matter of fact, I'm on my way to New Orleans on Monday to go to the veteran hospital. I'm getting ready to teach leadership training to the veteran. I'm getting ready to get a contract at the VA hospital in New Orleans to teach the veteran on life skills, period.
Yes.
And the Veteran Administration going to pay me $1,000 to teach a 10-week course to veterans. And they cannot say they don't have the money, because how you don't have the money to get this person some life skills, but you had the money to use him to get the country where they need to be, because every veteran...
Last question. What's it cost to train somebody in the Navy over the life of their term? What's it cost to get them certified and all the things that they need to do and to get their clearances. That must be a lot of money. And then they don't invest a little bit to help them on the way out?
Well, they invest in them, but you have to realize that people go to different parts. Now, it's up to the veteran to get the help as well. It's a lot of help out there, but you got to stand on your own, too. I don't know if you remember that song by Sammy Davis Jr., Mr. Bo Dinger. How can you help a man if you don't want to help yourself? So we got veteran like out there as well. I'm going to put it on the veteran administration. It goes both ways. That's just the bottom line.
I want you to go ahead and share your information as far as one of our listeners is listening, or a few of our listeners are listening, and they want to reach out to you. How do they do that?
It's cpenton011 at icloud.com.
Okay. And repeat that again.
Charlie Papa Echo November Tango Oscar November 011 at icloud.com.
Every veteran knows that language. Okay, all right. And that's your email. They can get a hold of you directly.
They can get a hold of me, and I have now. I don't like to tell nobody this, but I have the answer to all your problems. But you got to have a problem to want the solution. And you got to have a solution. I give you a solution, baby, but you're going to either cook it or freeze it. It's up to you. But there it is right there.
You're going to cook it and make something out of it?
We're going to wrap this up, Paul. A lot of good information that was shared today. And again, with my show, Closing the Wealth Gap, anybody can reach out to me. Just go to closingthewealthgap.coach. Or if that's too long for you, just go to TyroneFrench.coach. But also, if you have an opportunity, most people have a phone, a mobile phone, a mobile device. You can always download my app. You can just text Tyrone to 36260. Again, that's text Tyrone to 36260. Or just www.TyroneFrenchApp.com. That's www.TyroneFrenchApp.com.
Well, I think everybody should. That app alone is worth it's free, isn't it? And you get all sorts of information
it is.
Stuff.
Absolutely free.
There you go.
Well, let me tell you, gotta just say something. Hey, I'm gonna tell you about French on the way out.
All right, please do. You told us the story coming in. Tell us the story going out.
Hey, keep it PG now, Penn.
If it wasn't for French, I'm gonna tell you just like this. If it wasn't for French, I would not be who I am today, because if you want to know what I would have been in the civilian world, look at French. If you want to know what French would have been if he said in the military, look at me. So you got both military and the civilian.
Both sides of the coin.
Lean on each other all these years to get to where we're at right now. That's just the bottom line. You better have somebody that you got riding shotgun with you in life. They got your back.
Well, that's what everybody who listens to the show is saying right now. I got somebody who's got my back. I got somebody who's telling me the real truth. I got somebody riding shotgun here. It's this show and our coach, Tyrone French.
Pennon, I think you can actually add a backstory to this or validate it. Paul, when we were in San Diego, there were certain merit badges that you or flags that you had to pick up based on unit cohesion as far as, academics. When we went through in 1981, San Diego, California, we took the captain's trophy, every flag, every merit flag, we took everything. We didn't leave anything in the cupboard. Whatever they offered, we took. We were one of the sharpest units, companies that ever went through that training center.
All the more reason people should take your training when they leave the military and learn how to survive in the jungle outside those ships. That's the struggle here. We go to enormous effort to get you guys in there, to train you, to give a first-class education, first-class training, and then we throw you out into the sharks and say, sink or swim. It shouldn't be that way.
I agree.
But I would say a lot of people get their college degrees in the military. A lot of people get structured. But the people that don't get, I don't care if it's one or two, we need to do a better job. So I don't want it to sound like we don't do nothing. The Navy really don't do a whole lot. But I want it to be known that if you want to get it, it's there. And the ones that can't get it, we need to apply, help them a little bit along the way. That's the best way to put it.
Well, now I at least know where to send people, because we hear people, homeless stories, veteran stories all the time, and now we got a resource. We got a guide. We got a We got a true
But if they
North.
Come to me, they got to be ready, because don't come to me if you don't want the answer. If you want somebody to BS you, go talk to somebody else. You want the truth? Come to me. I give it to you. I give it to you raw. I give it to you. They're like, I'd be like, no.
Problem. I tell you what, go look in the mirror and you'll find the problem 100%. Period.
Yes, that's the truth. Well, I'm going to go look in the mirror right now and say, what the heck was I doing here? Thanks for coming on, sir, and I hope you will come back and share some more stories with us. And as particularly, I want to follow your journey, you and our coach here, as you try and coach ex-military to navigate these tricky waters.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, Penn. Thank you, sir.
Well, there you have it. It's not easy, folks, but there's help if you want it. You can close the wealth gap in your life. Veterans, you know, have them listen to the show, because there is a way forward. Right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OCTalkRadio.net.